Jesus.
Amen. Every teenager knows the drill. Either he's done something he shouldn't have done or didn't do something he should have. And now it's time for the interrogation from mom or dad. One question after another. You know, sometimes silence is the safest way to go. Admit to nothing. Until finally that inevitable demand of exasperation cries out, "Answer me!" Micah had a similar problem and a similar message to deliver to God's people. For you see, the Lord's holy people weren't so holy anymore. Generation after generation of continued disobedience, chasing after the false gods of their neighbors, devising their own forms of worship, thinking that they would somehow be able to appease God's wrath, assuming that is, that they even feared God's wrath any longer. To be certain, Micah, like all of God's prophets, was in an enviable position as he called upon the people to brace themselves for the Lord's indictment. "What, my people, have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. Answer me." We know very well that God did nothing to lead his people astray. On the contrary, it was he who rescued them, redeeming them from the bonds of slavery. It was he who guided them all those years as they wandered in the wilderness, delivering them from the hands of their enemies, feeding them day after day with the bread of heaven. God's saving acts were there for everyone to see, objective demonstrations of his infinite mercy, mercy that had no bounds. Yet time and again, they continued to reject his overtures of love, biting the hand of him who would nurture and sustain them. Well, thank God we aren't like that thankless lot. It's true. We have our failings, we'll admit to that, and more than a few times we've wept a few tears because of our hard-heartedness. But in the end, we're okay people, aren't we? Isn't that what the folks in our pew are asking? We're in church every Sunday? Well, most. We read and pray. We read the Bible, we pray, usually. We give generously to the church? Well, maybe. But we're certainly not like those unrepentant Israelites. If only it were that easy. I can check off every box on the list of what it is that God would have me do, that which people would say makes me a good Christian. But if the heart is not directed toward God, it matters not. Martin Luther, commenting on the last verse of our text, where Micah calls on us to walk humbly with our God, says that it is precisely at this point that the Christian must be on guard, lest he stumble and fall. Like King David, for example. His realm was firmly established, with God's promise still ringing in his ears that his descendant would sit on his throne forever. Yet right there, at the height of his greatness, David fell, and he fell hard, with lust and pride forging a cold and selfish heart. Or think of Peter, that fearless and zealous disciple. "I will never deny you," he proclaimed, words that must have sounded pretty good in his ears as he uttered them. Yet when that rooster crowed, what a hollow ring those words left behind. Pride and arrogance now being replaced by shame and disgrace. What about you? Where is the self-love for which you must be on guard? You're a pretty good Lutheran, right? Ready to defend the faith? But at what cost? To the death? Or perhaps just far enough to tear down your fellow brother in the faith to prove how zealous you are? Or maybe you're the glue that's held your congregation together for years. You're happy to do it. You don't even need public acknowledgement of all that you do. But truth be told, you're certain the place would fall apart without you. And just below the surface lurks a smug confidence. These people, they just don't realize how lucky they are to have you at the helm, do they? It's true. These failings in us seem like nothing when compared to the moral degradation that Micah faced with the children of Israel. And likewise, in our day, with abortionists, drug dealers, greedy politicians, or greedy bankers, and other politicians can be greedy too. We call them corrupt usually. And terrorists all around, oh my goodness, with all of this around, our shortcomings pale by comparison. But in the end, is there any difference? Self-love is self-love. And it fails no matter the form, since it doesn't have Christ in view. So you see, God's indictment is right on the mark when he asks, "What have I done to you, O my people? How have I offended you?" The answer, of course, is that he's done nothing except to show mercy and long-suffering. Isaiah, a contemporary of Micah, put it this way: "The Lord waits to be gracious to you and thus exalts himself in order to show you mercy." That is your God, gracious, literally dying to show mercy. It is that which the church gloriously proclaims, that which pastors, you gentlemen today recognize, proclaim to a lost and dying world. When God led his chosen people out of Egypt, through the Red Sea into life and salvation, he rescued them from certain death. And what was that but a foreshadowing of a day when God would in fact call his own son out of Egypt so that he might free us all by leading captivity captive? How can God not be grieved when such a gift is rejected? What have I done to you, O my people? I know how I'm tempted to respond to such a predicament. Give me something to do, something to make it all right with God. The Israelites certainly tried. They asked, how can we repay the Lord? How about some sacrifices, some calves, 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Or God forbid, the sacrificing of the firstborn in the stead of the father, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. No, it comes down to this: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before our God. Doing justice, not in the way that word is so often misused in our day, as though the purpose of the church were to establish some kind of utopia. No, it's in the sense of serving the neighbor in love, because God's love has had its way with me. Because God in his very nature is righteous and just, you see, my life and character will be defined by the person he has declared me to be, holy and righteous in his sight. And so doing justice in this way simply means to love mercy and to walk humbly, to understand that my whole life is so captivated by the mercy shown to me in Christ Jesus that I cannot help but extol his gifts through a life of mercy that is lived out in how I relate to others. And as Luther suggests, then to stir up a similar love in my neighbor so that he too might show mercy and grace to one and all. Never lording it over others, but serving just as Christ has served you. That's what your God has done for you. So answer him in the only way you can, through faith, which says, Amen.